Welcome to Uncharted Living. We're your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are life coaches who are committed to the road less traveled. Join us each week for thought-provoking and entertaining conversations, all designed to help you create your own map. Uncharted Living. It's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Uncharted Living. I have some good news for you. We are not here today to talk about pumpkin spice lattes, but instead we're celebrating recording this on Friday the 13th and the upcoming Halloween holiday by talking about energy vampires, what they are, how to protect your energy around them, and as life coaches, how not to be one. So, Christine and Ty, hi.
Hi, Becca.
I'm curious what you both think of when you hear the term energy vampire.
I think of somebody who just sucks your energy away from you. So you might feel great and then you talk to this person and then you leave feeling drained, like your little battery goes down. What about you, Christine?
An energy vampire for me is the person whose name pops up on your phone and you immediately are like, oh, no,
or yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to send it to voicemail unless you absolutely have to. And same
where you're like, I have to be in such a good headspace to answer this call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I know it's going to take something from me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think of energy vampires just exactly in both of those scenarios of like someone who emotionally drains you. Right.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, Becca, we're not here to judge you or to give your inner judge more fuel. We're just trying to identify a certain kind of behavior and maybe give us tools to deal with those behaviors in ourselves and in others. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. We're not here to diagnose anyone with any sort of narcissism. We're not here to judge. My experience with energy vampires, most of the time, folks don't even know that they're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And they're trying to meet a need that is real. And they're just going about it in a way that might be unhealthy or an unhealthy pattern. I'm a business coach. I think of this a lot in terms of like office settings or in the workplace. And energy vampires, or EVs for short, if we're going to use that term because we're cool.
But not electric vehicles.
Not electric vehicles.
We like those.
Energy vampires. Yeah. There a lot of times these are folks that just consume that conversation. And they connect over drama. So Christine, your visual of looking at the phone being like, oh God, oh geez, do I want to answer this right now? It's like, chances are that person's going to try to consume the conversation and connect mm-hmm. with you in some kind of a drama cycle, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's someone that it's not just a lot of times an energy vampire is someone who has drama literally all the time. It's one thing for a friend to call and want to vent and process and all of that. This is different. This is someone, it's like consistent yeah. drama, consistent processing, consistent, you know, neediness to that they need stuff from you to continue to process. And it's never, and it's really more like one way. Too, which I know you will.
It's one way. Yep. Yep. And likely also the same kind of conversation, right? So likely it's around the same topic. It just sort of feels like a vortex that never really improves. We just talk about it a lot. So you're exactly mm-hmm. right. It's one thing to have a friend call and be like, I need a listening ear. I need to vent. Great. Amazing. Here for that every single time. It's another thing when you're like, I know the conversation that this is about to be. and because we've had it a million times and I feel drained every time I leave the call, right? Yeah. In the workplace, that can also look like, you know, cycling around the same kinds of conversation for whatever the scenario is. So it could be the way a person is leading. It could be someone else's shortcomings. Could be a common one as well. Mm.
That's good.
Yeah. Another thing here is like manipulating the circumstances. So energy vampires can almost like lure you into their plan. <They're> like might seem really friendly and very talkative in the beginning at a new workplace until you kind of see through their thing, where really what they're doing is bringing you into their sphere where they can use urgency, guilt, comparison, or frequent interruptions as tactics to sort of keep you out of your own energetic space.
Because what you're saying is an energy vampire literally kind of feeds on energy. And what I'm hearing you say, it's mostly negative energy. So they're going to be like, whoever, let's talk some shit. Like, let's get all riled. They live on getting like,
getting riled.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that you highlight so beautifully, Ty, is like, the other thing is like, how do you know the difference between this is just a conversation we need to have to be able to like improve workplace culture, right? Versus an energy vampire. And a great way to do that is to really look at how you feel after that conversation, right? So Christine, to your point of getting that phone call, you're almost noticing how you feel before you have that conversation. So noticing how you feel before, during, and after an interaction with someone, if you're having consistent feelings of that drainage, that is a really good indicator that you might be dealing with an energy vampire.
Well, and
it's just a bodily response.
Yeah. It's a bodily response, and in fairness, like we were saying, we're not here to judge and, you know, identify all of these people that make you exhausted as energy vampires. It also may be that you are in a season where you just don't have the capacity to deal with things in the way that maybe you did in a prior season. And so I think people can go from being energy vampires like always. Sometimes people just, that's who they are. And, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about too. But the other side of this is that how are you doing? How much energy do you even have to give, you know, in service to that vampire? And during some seasons, if you're going through a lot of stuff, you just don't have that capacity. And so someone might be, you just might not have the same kind of patience for someone that you did 6 months ago.
And you know that, Christine, what that reminds me of is Becca's Spoons episode, right? The how to handle your shitty day. And if you woke up with three spoons, it's not the day to give one of them to an energy vampire.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that episode, it's an awesome episode, Becca. You have so many great ideas of how to deal with a day that you wake up just depleted, which we all do. And this goes hand in hand with that.
Yeah.
It totally goes hand in hand, because another piece of this conversation is then like, okay, let's say you have identified someone who makes you feel drained, right? You've checked in with yourself. You notice that maybe you're avoiding them. Maybe they make you feel tired consistently. They're leaving you feeling super unsupported and depleting your resources. So you've identified that, great, but now what, right? Like what are... Now what do I do? I work with this person. I can't get away from them. Or, you know, I interact with them in social settings, or there's just relationships that we have that are going to fit this category in seasons, not forever. But how do we manage that for ourselves? Do you all have any examples of things that have worked for you in the past in terms of managing your energy around someone who's an energy vampire?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things that might be useful for our listeners. They're certainly useful for me. And it's, you know, we're doing this in preparation for Halloween, so it's a little fun, but things that vampires hate. And I think this goes for energy vampires as well. So vampires hate sunlight, right? They're always creeping around in the dark. They hate sunlight. They're always like blinded. And so kind of a lot of times energy vampires will kind of prey on you when it's after hours, or it's okay, can I call you at 10 o'clock? And now you're on the phone for 3 hours, or can I, oh my gosh, this thing happened. And it's like not during daylight hours. Sometimes it's after business hours, Becca, to your point about business stuff, like let's go out. And then I'm going to just talk and just suck all the energy out of the room. And so some boundaries that you can do for that is to, again, limit your phone, limit your interactions during like kind of daylight hours when you have the most energy. And it may not seem as, it won't be as likely that they kind of descend into a very long, exhausting conversation, because that generally happens at night. And usually at night is when people catastrophize, right? And they're laying in bed and it's, you know, so this is another thing that we all should be aware of ourselves, that all, you know, nighttime like ruminations kind of make things worse. So the other thing that vampires hate is to count. So they can't help but actually count. And it's so fascinating. And that's why they, like on Sesame Street, that's why they call him Count Dracula. That's where the count kind of goes into describing vampires. It's literally
well, the count because, loves to count.
Huh? We do love the count. He's a good one. But
no, but he loves to count. I will challenge you on my Sesame Street knowledge. Doesn't he love to count? Like
I should
one.
Say this. He loves to count. He can't help but count. Maybe that's the way to say it. They can't help
say
but
more.
Count. So in like old folklore, I actually looked this up. People would if they thought a vampire was coming, wherever, Transylvania, I guess, they would actually throw out a bunch of seeds or a bunch of rice or a bunch of things of salt because it would distract the vampire because they would have to stop and count and then give time for people to run away. So yeah, I guess it shouldn't say what vampires hate. It's a way to prevent them from coming into your space because they will be distracted by needing to count. Which is really
fascinating. I love the vampire because I feel like it has OCD. I mean, if you just throw some rice and it feels compelled to count.
Like, I have to count this.
I love a atypical neurodiversity space. So I'm like, okay, you helped me so much. That was really good.
It's there was a term for it, which of course I can't remember now, but it's actually like someone who is compelled to count. So you're right. Mm-hmm. But if you are open to all those energy vampires, Ty, I will send all of mine to you.
I got lots of that. I got all sorts of crap around my place to just throw out and just be like,
what this makes me think of though is like almost like adding bodies to the scenario. So like if an energy vampire is like, let's say you're at work, they're like, let's get lunch. You're like, maybe you can't always say no, right? Or maybe it would feel weird to always say no, but you could invite extra people in to kind of disperse that
That's
energy.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little more, there's like safety in numbers in that way where you can disperse the energy.
That's exactly my point. So invite other people as your grains of rice. That you're throwing out.
Yeah.
It's other people, other things that can be, you know, can grab their attention. So it's not just directly laser focused on you. Also, vampires have a problem with tough skin, right? They like to get right into your neck, that nice little thin part of your skin. But if you have tough skin, that's you know, a little bit harder. So keep your boundaries strong, keep your responses strong. This is what's calling not, and I don't mean like tough, like don't feel into your feelings, just act tough. I'm saying have a tough or a robust, energetic boundary around yourself to prevent that. And then per usual, garlic is also great. that repels vampires, and it's garlic is really good for you. So, yeah. You know, that's got just, garlic actually has healing properties.
Exactly.
And then finally, Becca and Ty, vampires hate their own reflection. Mm. So, dun, dun, dun.
Spooky music here.
Exactly. How do we want to stop being our own energy vampire? Maybe we actually have to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up such a great point, because I can think back in certain areas of my life, particularly in my 20s, when I was a total energy vampire. Like, I 100% was probably that person, and, you know, in cyclical patterns. And so, as coaches, this is something that we can offer too for everybody listening. Not just ways to think about how to manage energy vampires that are coming towards you, but also how to start looking in the mirror, right? If you notice that your topics of conversation revolve around the same kinds of things all the time, that might be something to look at, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. that's a good looking in the mirror indicator.
I mean, one of the life coaching things that I like to employ is, you know, to send the drone out and look at yourself from, you know, 50 feet up and kind of watch yourself and your behavior and maybe, you know, just take some data in and then maybe process it when you're feeling okay. Like, how else could I have handled that? What was that bringing up for me? If anybody is interested in internal family systems, we all have parts inside, is part of the IFS philosophy. And maybe one of your parts is an energy vampire. Maybe four of your parts are. And that's something to take to your therapist, take to your life coach. And it could be the best thing you've ever done is say, oh, crap, I'm kind of not a nice person when this particular subject comes up. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you bring up such a great point of like these parts of us all are really wanting and needing something, right? So that's not a judgment in any way. That is just a red light indicator of like, hey, this is something you could take a look at if you're ready for it. If you feel like you have the energy to look at it and you have the support to look at it. It's really important to be, you know, supported through some of that process too, because likely you're going to interact with some pain, right? Or there's a protection layer there that's doing something for you in a positive way. It's giving you something. So what is that? What does that look like?
Another way I think to recognize if you yourself are also an energy vampire is when you have conversations with people, or just think of the last three conversations you had with a particular person. Did you do all of the talking in all of those conversations? Did they tell you anything about what's going on with them? Did you even ask? And again, once in a while, when you're going through a big crisis, like these kinds of conversations with true friends are fine. But if this is a pattern in which you are doing 90% of the talking or 100% of the talking, you haven't even let the other person take a breath, nor have you asked what's going on for them. Just something to really look for in terms of patterns, because that person might be really just being very nice and listening and taking it, and may not tell you, hey, by the way, I'm going to send all your calls to voicemail. So, I mean, that's kind of maybe another thing, people are busy. So sometimes you go to voicemail, but if someone's consistently not calling you back, maybe look at yourself and think, gosh, have I been a drain on them in any way? And do that with kindness and compassion for yourself, of course, but just be aware.
What I want to say about that, Christine, which you just brought up, is also think about your conversations when there might be a hierarchy, when you might be the team leader, you want to talk less. When you are somebody's boss, when you are somebody's teacher, when you are somebody's parent, try speaking less, because your position already carries a certain amount of weight. And I think it would be a better world if we all listened to the people, I don't want to say below us, but who can maybe boots on the ground have information that we want to listen to rather than speak. Does that, as a career coach, Becca, what do you think about that?
I love that point. I hadn't even gone there in my head yet. So I thank you for bringing that up. I mean, it's a matter of becoming more self-aware, right? Mm-hmm. And then thinking through this symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. You can have a hierarchy in a workplace environment and still have a symbiotic relationship. Are you, you know, giving from a place of trust and receiving from a place of trust? Are you creating an environment where you give folks around you who maybe might not have as much decision-making sway or power in the environment a platform to be able to have a voice and speak on these things? Or is it all coming from one direction? I think that's a great thing to highlight.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing I would say here is learn to manage your stress, right? We all have it.
Yeah.
We all have it. And there's so many resources available. One of the things that you two both have done really well is create some beautiful short walking meditations that folks can use anytime on our podcast. So you guys listening at home can look for those. Both Ty and Christine have just created and really voiced beautifully these meditations that can help just give you one more option in your tool belt if you are feeling like you do need some additional support around stress and managing it. So
yeah, and they're just breathing, you know, and some talking. 3 minutes, calm you down, get back to your body. I'm doing one on energy, especially for this one. So go check that out if you feel compelled.
Beautiful. Well, we can't control how other people consume energy. We can identify energy vampires in our lives. We can understand that we probably are at some points as well. But we can learn how to protect our energy bubbles and our spaces. And this is really self-care at its root. And so we wanted to offer all of this as a reminder for everybody listening and for ourselves in this time. It's a fun way to remind you of your own power, your own intuition in every situation, both in life and in the workplace. And we'll leave you with that.
I have a question for you guys before we go.
Yeah.
Because this is our Halloween episode. Okay. If in your neighborhood, everyone was only giving out one kind of candy, what would you want it to be? Becca?
Skittles.
1,000 grand.
Oh, okay. Almond Joy here. So these are all very good. These are all very good.
That was a good range.
Have a safe and happy Halloween to our listeners, and let us know how you are dealing with your energy vampires and if you have recognized some of these things in yourself.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Halloween.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.